Hello and welcome. We are the Agony Uncles and I'm Uncle Dave.
And I am Uncle Si, and we're here again to try and help you with your problems, both in and out of the kitchen.
Yeah, thanks so much for your emails and messages on the social media. It's great to hear from you. And I'd like to say hello to Jenny Smith, who wrote to us on Facebook. She says, I've just listened to the new podcast and I've not laughed so much in ages. Thank you. I've had a really crap 5 months and every Friday you make me smile. Please keep doing what you're doing. Well, thank you very much, Jenny, because that means a lot to us. Thank you.
That's nice, Jenny. Yeah. And also, thanks to everyone who's been in touch to say that they voted for us at the Fortnum & Mason Food & Drink Awards. If you're listening to this podcast before the 31st of March 2023, then you can vote for us as well. Just go to thehairybiters.com for news on how to do it. And thanks for all of your votes so far. We're much appreciated. We're like getting dressed up and going to get drunk. It's
yeah, well, I couldn't get dressed up and get drunk last time because I was a sick puppy.
Yeah, you
and
were.
We won, so I didn't get it. So if you vote for us this time, I would love a night out, you know.
I know, well,
please vote for us. Please vote for us. Anyway, that's pleading, isn't it?
Yeah.
Posing the problems today, it's the thin white Duke, Mr. Jeeves.
Hello, lovely to see you. And yes, lovely to see how well you're looking, Dave, and how well you're looking, Si, as well. And yeah, got a lot of quite a challenging problem post bag for you today. But I know you're going to be able to nail it, especially as I know, Dave, you've been out on your motorbike, so you're full of pip and verve.
I am. I've got zippy me pip. First time for 18 months. Yes. Oh, I'm born again.
And Si's been in the sunshine, so you're full of the joys of vitamin D.
Oh, I even take supplements. Happy days. But we have some news, don't we? Because she's missing.
Yeah.
Sadly, Posh Tash isn't here this week. And I imagine she's probably advising King Charles on his coronation plans or something equally as posh. Or she's got stuck in the queue for tomatoes at Waitrose.
Yeah, well, she wouldn't go down a market, would she, really?
Oh, hell no.
No. But it takes some effort to get it over the ha-ha.
Yes, indeed. Indeed.
Yes.
Yes.
It's got the ha-ha under the pergola. Pergola.
What's she doing? Because the excuse was pretty ropey. You know, she just, you know.
She said she had, like, important business.
Yeah, but you're important business.
Oh, yeah, that'd be it.
Well, we're not. She does it for love, not for money.
She does it at the minute, aren't
you? Oh, bless her. Oh, we miss you, Tash.
Yes,
back
we
next
do.
Week. I don't know how we'll do it without you.
No, it's true. It's true.
Well, we'll do our best.
Right, Dave, it's problem time. Hit the jingle, dude.
Bang, bong, bing, bong, bong, bing, bing, bong.
Hello, hairy bikers. Here is my request. I have got a problem that I must get off my chest. Won't you listen to my story like a hairy jackanory? Because I heard your advice is the best.
Uncle Si and Uncle Dave, and not Posh Tash, in today's paddling pool of problems, you're going to be tackling these terrible troubles. We have a sausage roll saga. We have a bit of beard bother. We have the phantom food thief. And in confidential corner, the FaceTime fail. But we're going to be starting with a sausage roll saga. This comes from Richard in Aberdeen, who says, hello, airy bikers. My partner, Marnie, and I are both big fans of your work. I've listened to the podcast since day one. Thank you, Richard. He said, we saw you at the Taste of Grampian in 2022. Si was in person, Dave on the big screen. We hope you'll be back there this year. And then Richard said, I'm looking for your thoughts on how to perfect gluten-free pastry, specifically for making sausage rolls. We've tried various versions and methods from online or books, but to date, they haven't quite lived up to expectations. Any tips on how to perfect this would be much appreciated. Cheers, Richard in Aberdeen. Over to you.
We get asked a lot about why don't you do a gluten-free book? I think it's because we don't really know what we're doing.
Yeah, fundamentally.
We always say frozen puff pastry isn't a bad thing. I'll have to give a shout-out and ready rolled puff pastry from your freezer or your chiller cabinet is a good, really good product. And Just Roll, they do a chilled gluten-free puff pastry. And to be fair, that's what I'd use.
Yeah, you're absolutely bang on. And I've actually used that because I bought it by mistake and it's grand. It's really nice. I saw, yeah, don't make it, buy it.
Yeah, so I'm just looking at a recipe now for it. And you've got to get gluten-free white flour blend, sea salt, xanthan gum, cold unsalted butter, caster sugar. This is for a sweet pastry. But by the time, you know, xanthan gum and gluten-free pastry, I'd just buy it ready-made, really. And Waitrose do a decent one as well.
I don't make your life complicated and stress. Go and find somewhere that gets it and buy it. I mean, that's what we do, don't we? I mean, we use puff pastry, but sometimes we make it. But
Yeah, that's a good trick, isn't it? Do you remember we found it like a really quick way of making puff pastry. This is not gluten-free, but you get your regular pastry, but then you put a block of butter in the freezer and you freeze it and you put it through a cheese grater, so you get all these butter chips, and you just roll that into your puff pastry. Make your pastry, butter expands, causes puff. And that's a really quick, naughty way of making puff pastry. Not good for the waistline.
No.
But very, very good.
Yes.
Yeah, but there's a lot of bought, I'm just looking now, there's a lot of bought puff pastry, gluten-free pastry out there. But yeah, the Just Roll stuff would be good, you know.
It is good. It is good. I know that I've done it with sausage rolls, the very thing he's talking about, and it was great. Nobody noticed.
Yeah, it's funny though, allergies, isn't it? Intolerances. You know, I've kind of food allergies for. Well, the only thing I'm allergic to is oysters, and I've been crippled a couple of times with it. And you know, I was away last week at my in-laws in Romania, and I ended up at a beautiful restaurant in Budapest, fine dining. Anyway. The first course was a oyster, but it was an oyster from heaven. Oh, with a lovely lemon zesty dressing. Oh, that'd be fine. No.
Oh, were you not?
No.
Oh,
no. Man. I mean, I was all right. I only had one, so it wasn't too bad. But, you know, it's just like, no, you can't eat oysters, Dave. It's not as bad as being gluten-free.
I'd die if I couldn't eat oysters. Well, I wouldn't, but you know what I'm saying.
No, you wouldn't die. It'd be fine. No. It'd be fine. When I go to hospital, they give me a red wristband because I was foolish enough on my first day, because a red wristband means you've got an allergy, you've got a problem. Oh. And of course, mine was, what are you allergic to? I went, oysters. Oh, great, in hospital, you know. But that means, because I've said it, I'm banded. So every time I go in the hospital now, what's your allergy? Oysters. And the nurse will say, well, fat chance of getting oysters here, mate. I said, yeah, I know that. I wish I'd never said. And then somebody would be smart and go, yes, but certain medicines contain certain seafoods. I said, well, I'm all right with seafood and crustaceans. It's just bloody oysters. They ring me out. Do you remember Carlingford?
I do. I can, there was a cacophony of sound from your bedroom.
Yeah, there was a cacophony of laughter from the bar downstairs when I told you that I wouldn't be joining you. And it was the most perfect bar, wasn't it?
Oh, it was a belter.
This problem with oysters, is it at one end or the other? Is this a...
Doublers.
Oh, no, really?
Oh, if I go for it, doublers, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, the Budapest problem was just, you know, bottoms. But, you know, like Carlingford was doublers. But that was one, because the Carlingford oysters are so pure, and we'd filmed with the seed oysters, and I'd actually had an oyster mornay. So I thought maybe just like having them cooked, which is, I know he's wrong, and it was delicious. And we planned, Jemba just said, we were doing the research for the programme. Oh, come on, King, let's just find a proper Irish bar, fiddle music and the real thingy. And we found it, didn't we? The rooms upstairs were like 12 quid a night, two rooms booked, and we're setting for a night on the black stuff. I believe it was frequented by Jackie Charlton as well.
Wow.
It was his local. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I didn't get as far as the bar. I could hear Kingy holding court downstairs, and then I was upstairs and I had to give him a phone call. And then this enormous oysters kicked in, mate, soz. And then there was this uproarious laughter from the bar down below.
you could hear everything.
It was
kind of funny. So the whole bar could hear what Dave was doing in the room, because his room was literally over the top of the bar.
Yes.
So whatever it was going on, oh, he's off again. Hey! Bloody hell. He'll have no left in him. Oh, and it was all that. It was hilarious.
Oh, I was pale the next morning. I still had me full Irish. Well, it was empty. Yeah, my black pudding. Oh, God help me. So, no, it's happened again as well. Just when I think it's fine, I'll have a go at it. And, something in me and oysters. I think I had a dodge. What, were you poisoning me once with mussels?
Yeah, sorry about that. I mean, it wasn't on purpose.
Yeah, well, no. Who'd have brought over 2 kilos of mussels in the saddlebags in the sunshine on your motorbike from Newcastle?
Me, sorry.
Yeah. And I got the funny one.
Oh. I was all right, wasn't I?
Yeah, you were laughing as well.
Oh, sorry.
Well, there's a picture being painted here of not much sympathy between pals, I have to say.
There was, there is.
No.
I felt sorry for him. I made him a cup of tea.
Oh, well done.
But to the point in question, gluten-free pastry, I'd buy ready-made.
Yeah, definitely. It's too much like hard work.
Well, what would Posh Tash say to that?
Food makes everything better.
Our next problem, though, is called a bit of beard bother. And there's two parts to this. Part one comes from Florence, who's 2 years old, and Emily, who's quite a lot more than 2 years old. Emily writes, "Hello, Si and Dave. Thank you for bringing extra cheer to my life every Friday alongside Posh Tash and the Duke." That's me.
And that's you, Jeevesy.
I know. Simple things. Your podcast is simply brilliant. I thought you might like to know about the influence you have on my two-year-old. Florence loves baking with me, and we've been working our way through the recipes from the brilliant Bakes book. The lime and coconut drizzle cake went down a storm, she says.
That's good, that.
Yeah. She loves flicking through the pictures in the book. She even suggests it as her bedtime story some days.
Oh, what a kid.
I know, it's great, isn't it?
It's genius.
A few weeks ago, we were baking your cherry Madeira cake, and there was a small incident when allowing her to crack the eggs in the bowl. Whilst we were laughing about it, she looked over your faces on the front cover of the book and said, "Mum, maybe I'd be better at baking if I had a beard." So I've got a problem because Florence can't have a beard. And she's only two. We don't like to dash people's dreams here, but no, I don't think there's anything you can do to help Florence with her beard. Is there?
No.
Well, apparently there is.
We're going to say, is there?
Yeah, Barry has come up with this. Barry, who works on our website, is really fantastic. And he's found on Amazon, if you put into Amazon, "Hairy Bikers TV Celebrity Cardboard Party Face Mask Fancy Dress," you have cardboard faces of Si and Dave to stick on your head.
You really? Sure, do it.
Yeah.
Oh, I forget some of them.
Oh, well, that'd be great.
I can be you and you can be me.
That'd confuse the buggers, wouldn't it?
It'd
be
great. Poor woman's face. Aye, hinny man, pet man.
Pet man. And I'd be like, oh, really? No, don't be daft.
Hey,
no.
Man, oh, no.
So I think what we're going to do is we're going to order some of these and then send them to you. And then on the podcast for the video thing, we are going to get you to wear each other's faces. Yes.
Excellent.
Hairy Bikers, TV Celebrity, Cardboard Party, Face Mask, Fancy Dress. You will find Si and Dave. The actual question comes from Bill. I know. The actual question, we're going to put this on the website. The actual question comes from Bill, who says, "Many emails commenting on the return of Dave's luscious beard has inspired this question." Bill says, "My son Anthony is 14. And his ambition when he's old enough is for just two things. One is a KTM Super Adventure motorbike, and the second is a beard like Si King's. He's not old enough for the bike yet, but he's just started shaving. However, at the moment, his facial hair is fluffy, and he's worried he might not have the right type of face hair to be able to grow a beard. Can Si and Dave give him some hope and let him know at what age they were able to grow beards and whether they were fluffy when they were younger too?" This is from Bill and Anthony in Salford. Over to you.
I suppose mid-20s the beard comes on, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It changes from fluff to fibre.
It does, yeah. I mean, you know, in a strong wind, before 20s, you could blow it off. But, you know, after your mid-20s, it starts to get a little bit more substantial. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the technical term before that is bum fluff, isn't it?
Yes.
Bum fluff on your top lip. There was always a kid at school who thought he had a moustache, you know, when he was about kind of 16. It was just this terrible, like, kind of shadow of bum fluff. But then as you get older, it gets more fibrous, especially when it gets grey, because it's coarser, isn't it? You'll know that thin white Duke, being white everywhere.
Yes. I've never tried to grow a beard. I think it would be an absolute disaster if I did, but I've kind of got this sort of slightly, stubbly stuff I have to shave off every day.
That's nice. Do you wet shave or dry?
No, dry electric shave. I'm not quite sure why anyone wet shaves. What a strange, complex thing to do. Just plug a shaver in and shave.
Oh, no. It freshens you up a wet shave.
Is it?
Well, not that I've shaved it much for years.
I was going to say, you haven't shaved it.
No. With the chemo, when it started dropping out, I got it off because it was really irritating.
Yeah.
I mean, that
was
that wasn't good for cooking. It was dropping in my dinner.
Oh, no.
But I remember when you shaved your beard off, Kingy, and we found out you had a bum chin like Kirk Douglas.
I didn't even know. And Dave goes, "Yeah, you've got a bum chin." I was like, "Have I?"
Yeah. Really funny. You never tell, could you, what's going on beneath?
No.
Why did you shave it off in the first place?
I don't know. I had a fit of shaving and thought, well, I'll give it a go. And I hated it. So I grew it back and it's never gone since. I look funny. I look like this upside down embryo. It's just, I don't want.
Remember for your wedding, you kind of shaved it off. You left a little thumb piece. Because I always remember that. We used to go to that Italian restaurant and all the cool Italians had this little like jazz man thumb piece. But they were kind of Italian and young.
Thin.
Yeah. And yours, it looked like, I don't know. I can't
it looked
say
bloody
it really.
Stupid.
Yeah,
that's what it looked.
Yeah, with a bum chin with like this little triangle above. Well, you can imagine what I'm thinking it looked like, and I can't say it because it'd be bad.
Which is exactly what it did look like, to be fair.
It did.
I went to this posh hairdressers because I was getting married, and then look what happened. You know, I come out bald virtually with a triangle. Piece of hairy McClary on me mush.
It did, it looked pubic, especially with the bum chin. Everything was in the right place, as it were. There's an artist called Beryl Cook who used to paint large ladies. Yeah. And it looked like a Beryl Cook painting in the nip.
As it was your wedding, there must be plenty of photographs of this.
Oh yeah, there is, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, no, yes. Barry, we're asking for one for the website.
Yes, there's a great one where Dave Skidley stood next to us with this photograph and he's just looking at what the bloody Nora have you done? What's the matter with that?
I mean, it's funny though, isn't it? That's why for me, I always, if somebody had advised me what to wear or do, I'm really happy with that. So left to my own devices, I just look at the midden. It's like I've always wanted a Paul Smith jumper, you know, like really trendy and expensive. Mm-hmm. But you know, I went to the shop and obviously they're cut for like some young things. And anyway, so I got my double X one, put it on. Except I just looked like fat Uncle Albert down the boozer with something from the market. You know, I had reduced this jumper that was a work of art to fat Uncle Albert. And actually tried that. I by mistake bought a Missoni sweatshirt in Rome. Thought I looked the business. Yeah, I misread the price tag, which was, and then when I got to the till, I was too embarrassed to back it. But I still look like fat Uncle Albert in a stripy top. It didn't work with me, you know.
So we need some advice here for young Anthony, who's wants to grow a big beard at some point, but is worried that he might be a bit fluffy at the moment. The advice, Uncle Dave?
Or just wait, and then you'll be fed up with it. There'll come a time in your life when you can plait your ears and you wish you weren't so hairy.
Of course, I.
Yeah, just wait. Or alternatively, continue to shave, because the more shaving you do, the stronger the face growth becomes.
Oh. Or you could go to Turkey, because now, apparently, as well as being the world centre for hair transplants, so they say, not that I've had one, it's come back natural, they're doing beard implants. So they take stuff from the back of your head and put it on your chops so that, you know, like, hipsters can have the, even if they've got bum fluff, you can now have stubble. But is it worth $3,000, a lot of pain and misery? Nah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good advice. And are either of us, any of us brave enough to speculate on Posh Tash's facial hair? Because she's not here.
Never had hair in her life. No,
she's never, no. I think she does that electrolysis thing.
Oh,
you know, particularly on her top lip. She's, you know, she's getting to a certain age where you get a shadow.
No, I don't think so. She's an English rose, a peach. Yeah. Maybe a slight down that I find quite attractive, actually. but not like, never a shadow. No.
Really downy fluff.
That woman's perfect.
Well, that's HRT for you. That's it.
No, don't. Don't. It's just, it's good genetics. That's what, like, we'll never have.
Breeding. No. Breeding.
Breeding, yes.
Oh, yeah, breeding. Yeah.
She'd be like a Croft, she'd get number one.
As she would.
If you got problems, you'll be fine. Just drop the agony uncles a line.
Our next problem is called the Phantom Food Thief, and for this I need one male name. A male name from you, please, Uncle Si.
Terry.
Terry has written to us and says, "Dear Uncle Si, Uncle Dave and Posh Tash, who's not here, I need your advice as I'm very hungry. You see, someone keeps stealing my food from the fridge at work. I, like many people, am trying to save cash by taking a packed meal into work. We all share two big fridges at our factory. There's about 50 of us work there. There's one large kitchen with a seating area to use at break time. When I'm on the early shift, it's fine. I get in for 6 a.m., break for food at 10:30, then back to work until 2 in the afternoon. On that shift, no trouble. My Tupperware, with my name on, is left alone. But on the late shift, I start at 2, break for food at 6:30, by which time, on too many occasions, My lunchbox has been raided. Not just partially raided, it's been emptied. That means I'm hungry until knocking off time at 10 o'clock. We're not allowed food on the factory floor, so I can't keep it with me. I have got a locker, but it's in a really warm part of the factory, so I don't fancy my food chances in there for 4 hours. But there's two people I suspect of being the thief. So my question is this. Is there something I could take in that would show them up? Like making sandwiches with an ingredient that would turn their teeth blue or something like that? Can you help me catch the phantom food thief? Asks our correspondent, Terry. Over to you.
Ooh. That's bad, that man. You're nicking your workmate's bait. It's shocking.
There is an obvious solution, but not that we could advocate it or else we'd end up in jail.
What?
And that, well, kind of just doctor the food a bit. Use it as bait rather than dinner. You know, I remember at school, there was a kid. Do you remember when Bovril crisps came out?
Yeah.
And they used to have like a brown coating on them.
Yeah.
Well, what we did was we ground senecots up and put them, shook them in a Bovril crisps, and they just stuck and they looked just like the kind of flavouring, and then give them to the kid at school, and then he like munched his way through the Bovril crisps, and then halfway through history, that was him off.
Well, you're definitely
like you
that's perfect. That's perfect, isn't it? That's what he does.
Yeah, but we can't advocate that because he might have a heart attack or be allergic to something. You know what life's like these days. A lockable lunchbox. Put a padlock on it.
You know, you can get those straps, and then the straps all join, and then you just lock it. That'd be good. You could fabricate that.
I'd put a note, please do not steal my food.
You bastard.
Yeah. Or at least point out that you know you're being robbed.
Yeah.
You know, I remember once somebody, in the days when we got milk delivered, every day we had two pints, and one pint was always gone. You know, and what it was I was only about kind of 17, 18. I just lay in wait like from 5 o'clock in the morning till 7. And it was a passing paper boy who was a bit of a thug, right? I saw the hand come down and take a pint of milk off the doorstep. And I just ran screaming out the house after him. You know, and there was, you know, like a banshee. And there was no more milk nicked after that. But I can remember thinking, I've caught him in that moment when I saw the hand come down for the milk. I was quite horrified in one way, but you know, my suspicions were confirmed in the other.
Yeah.
But it felt quite good, and nobody nicked the milk again, not even a blue tit.
I'm just trying to think of what would I do. I just think that's shocking. Like, you know, fancy nicking your mate's bit, you know. Like, your work, he's a colleague. What about, like, food dye or something? You know, he turns your teeth greener.
Well, like those briefcases that explode if you don't put the right code in. The lunchbox covers you in dye.
Yeah, it's got to be something, man.
Yeah, but it involves expense. I just get a lockable food thing. But then you'd have to nick the whole box. Well, it's pretty bad at work, though. You've got nowhere cool to leave your food.
Well, he has. It's in the fridge, but it keeps getting nicked.
All right, absolutely.
Yeah.
Even if you put your name on it, he's still going to nick it, isn't he?
Yeah.
That was the student way, wasn't it? You put your name on your pint of milk, mark it.
Oh, man, that's really got me going, that. That's wrong.
Yeah, I remember once I was driving down the motorway and I picked up a hitchhiker. And it was a time of poverty and I was in my van and I had a packet of chocolate digestives, you know, that were put like in a cup holder. And these were sustaining me from Barrowing Furnace down to London. And I picked the hitchhiker up, dropped him a couple of things down, and he took me digestives. Absolutely mortified that my random act of kindness had been repaid with theft.
I would have run him over.
Well, I couldn't go back up the motorway, could I? You know, I was several... When I reached down, there was some little comfort.
Oh,
they've gone.
They've gone.
Not one. Not crumbs left. That
was
it.
The realisation was appalling.
That's awful. There is something bad if you think you've got some food and then you haven't. When you've got it in your head.
Yeah, you look forward to it, don't you? You're eating it before you're actually eating it.
So it can be a real disappointment, like bigger than it should be.
I've got it. What you do is you have two lunch boxes that are identical.
Ooh.
You put one at the back of the fridge with your real lunch. The one that you think's going to go, you just put like raw tripe and offal in there. Right? So when the baddie goes in, he'll have the raw tripe. He should get the message then. But you've got yours hidden amongst the labyrinth. A completely unidentifiable lunchbox.
That's the way.
Harmless too.
That's the answer, Terry. Fill a lunchbox with offal. What would Posh Tash's response to this be? I wonder if she would know what a lunchbox was.
Oh, she'd have a human resources come and do an investigation. It would be, you know, get HR onto it. You know, she would, wouldn't she?
Yeah.
She'd be appalled by that in all sorts of appalling ways.
We can imagine at the private girls' school where they all had their stuff from the tuck shop or that hampers from home. You know, if somebody stole your fruitcake from Fortnum's, there'd be hell on, wouldn't there?
Oh,
there'd be an investigation.
That'd be it.
Yeah.
I can imagine. Good Lord.
Yeah, Mallory Towers. Ooh, hell.
Well, if you're down, now don't get drunk.
Just
send an email to the Agony Uncles.
It's time to head to Confidential Corner. This is going to be testing for you. It's called the FaceTime Fail. We need one male and one female. Name, please. So, Uncle Dave, male name. Uncle Sire, female name, please.
Brian.
Tracy.
Okay. Brian and Tracy. This is coming from Tracy, who's got herself in a bit of a spot. Dear Agony Uncles and Auntie Posh, said Tracy, I don't know how to face my parents, and they're going to be here in a week. I live in Southend. They live near Lake Coniston. I moved here after uni to be with my boyfriend. We live together. I FaceTime my parents on a Sunday night. It's always lovely. They're coming to stay for a few days, and they're going to be here in a week's time. So on our last FaceTime, we chatted about the arrangements. My boyfriend was sat next to me. We had a nice chat. The thing is, I'd forgotten about the FaceTime call with them, and me and my partner, Brian, and I were mid-shag on the sofa when it came in. But that was okay, as we quickly chucked T-shirts on and carried on as though nothing had happened. We were very pleased that we appeared to have got away with it. Once the call was over, I shut down FaceTime, put the laptop on the table, undressed, and we got straight back into it, if you know what I mean.
Indeed.
But after a minute, I thought I could hear my dad's voice saying, Helen, for God's sake, how do you switch this thing off? Followed by Mum's rather hysterical voice saying, just look away, Robert, just look away.
Ah.
I panicked and grabbed my laptop, but the screen was blank and I quickly turned it to face the other day and switched it off. But I can't help thinking they've seen us in full flight. If that's the case, when they arrive next week, what on earth am I going to say to them? Should I mention it? Or do I just hope they were talking about something else? Says Tracy and Brian. Over to you.
Well, they clearly weren't talking about something else, were they? Because they've caught them mid, you know.
It wasn't FaceTime, was it?
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. Mid-copulation. That's what that is. That's, oh dear.
I'd say nothing until the parents bring it up, as they say.
If they did. I think clearly that, they've definitely caught them at it. And Mam's saying, look away. Daddy, look away. Oh, good God. Yes, I can imagine that. But yes. I wouldn't mention it. Just say no. And you're just going to have to, you know, with bravado and a steel will, ignore it. And make sure that none of it's happened.
Pretend none of it happened.
Which, of course, it has. None of it's happened at all.
But in your defence, then I think the parents should basically have either looked away very quickly and shut the computer down and realised that it was an embarrassing, compromising position. Do you know what I mean? Because obviously you're living together in Southend. You know, you are doing thingy, aren't you? You're not kind of like, you know, you are a couple. Breaking off your passion for a FaceTime call and getting stuck in again. I mean, why did they take the FaceTime call in the first place? That's what confuses me. You don't have to accept it, do you?
Well, you don't, but you see, if you're into a routine of like speaking to your parents all the time, you know, do you know what I mean? I can see how it happened. I just think that
we're in mid-shag. Hold on a minute, I've got to speak to me dad.
Hold on. Yeah, just hold that thought. Look at that. Oh, God, yes. It's also that. Oh, God, love them.
I couldn't concentrate on the conversation when they're talking about the traffic conditions coming down from Coniston. And he, you know, he's there with a monstrous erection and she's feeling, you know. And it's like, you're not interested, are you? There's a time and place for everything.
Who cares about what roadworks are on the A590? Nobody.
Exactly. You know. Yes, and the fact it's 35 minutes used to take over an hour when she was a kid.
Yeah, all that.
It's not, you're not bothered. You're in passion. You're revved up.
Oh, dear God. I think, I don't know about you, bro, but I think that's an ignore. That's just like, didn't happen. Just put your fingers in your ears and go, la, 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 la.
Yeah, it must have been a film or something you watched. The fact that you know, the fella had the same tattoo on his backside as Brian is purely coincidental.
Purely.
These things happen, you know, on the internet.
Oh, yeah, it happens all the time. I mean, all the time.
Oh, yeah, I've got to be careful, haven't you, what you press. You know, we had this talk last week, actually, about, you know, certain people who obviously get intoxicated and, you know, never tweet when you're drunk is one thing, isn't it? Certainly never use a camera, as some celebrities have, and showed their private parts. You know, it's just stupid, isn't it, how stupid people can be. You know, at least we get the BBC, we get paid for being stupid.
Well, yeah, I mean, there is that.
There's cameras everywhere then, but... Oh, no, I was going to say you keep your clothes on, but of course you don't.
No, not normally.
No, last time was Finland, though, Kingy.
I
turned 60 and I saw my back view running down that jetty out the sauna. Yeah. No, there was a time and place to stop.
Yeah, that was definitely
that was it, yes. And I always remember the embarrassment at being of a certain age. They came round with a tea urn, didn't they, halfway through? And I had to go out the sauna. And I was in the sauna with these Finnish gentlemen who didn't give a bollocks, really, about being stark naked. The runner said to me, "Do you want a dressing gown, Dave?" And I didn't know what to do because I thought, if I go and get my cup of tea with a dressing gown on, the Finns are going to think I'm odd. But there again, I thought, oh, I'll just go for it, really. And I remember I remember queuing up for my tea in the buff. And the runner said, "This is really messing with my head." So it's not doing my much good either, really. But then in Namibia, we give your mother a shock, didn't we, Kingy?
Yeah, we did, yeah. It was this lovely watering hole.
Oh.
And then the photograph, I can't remember what the headline was, but there was a photograph.
It was the Mirror. It was the Saturday Daily Mirror, and it had beef on the menu.
That's right, yeah. Beef on the menu. Hairy biters, beef on the menu, right? And fundamentally, it was Dave and I were doing a duck dive and we were absolutely stark bollock naked in this lovely, lovely watering hole. So we did the duck dive and then there was a photograph of Dave's butt and my butt next to each other.
Synchronised
duck diving, you see. And then my mum goes, she rings us up, she goes, "Oh, yeah." She said, "I had Mavis in from next door." She said, "Oh, the lads are in the newspaper." She said, "When I opened the bloody newspaper, I was expecting to see your faces, not your arses." She said, can you bloody tell us next time, you know, give us some tip off. I mean, I didn't know what to say to Mavis. And I was like, "Oh, sorry, Mum, I didn't think it would make the, you know, we were in Namibia." She said, "Well, it doesn't bloody matter. The photographer wasn't, was he? He was there." Well, yeah, but we didn't work that one out. "We didn't think it through, Mum. Sorry," she said. "Well, you too. And I'm getting on the bloody phone in my ears as well. Where's he?" We've both got proper wrong. Right. I was like, "Whoa."
Beef on the menu. That was great, though. That was our first headline, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Yeah. At least it made an impact. You didn't get that with Mary Berry, do you?
No.
Oh, thank God.
No.
Gosh, oh, then we went from there to cook babooty and mealy-pap.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that was what my mum said as well. She said, "Well, which one's which?" She couldn't work out which one was my butt and which one's... Because it's not your son. How can you not know? But she said, "Well, which one is it?"
Well, I couldn't tell her. I never seen us both like that before. Well, no. I've never looked at yours, and I never, you know, you don't see yourself, do you?
Well, you don't. And I mean, you haven't got, you know, when do you see your own backside? Never. No. If you think about it.
Unless you're checking your rides.
Yeah, but then you've got, you know, you're looking at the gap in the middle, not the whole thing.
No, oh, yeah, and absolutely. You're checking your rides. Absolutely. So back to Brian and Tracy. Yeah, it's one of those things, isn't it? Don't mention it. And if they mention it, just deny everything.
Just say, "Look, I'm really sorry you caught us mid, yeah, sorry."
Well, look, they're from Coniston, which is, I know it well. They've only just got internet up there. And if they're your parents, they won't understand anyway. No, so it'll be fine.
Just blank your way out of it. love that. Well, just look away, Brad, look away. I think that's great. Oh, God.
And what would our darling Tash's comments be to that, do we think?
Or she'd probably tell us a tale that it happened to her and her husband when they were courting. Yes. Daddy saw it, you know. Yes. But that's why they had to get married.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shotgun wedding.
Yeah, shotgun wedding. Get shotgun the purdies out and get the lad to the altar.
If your life's in a mess, then the email address is theagonyuncles@thehairybikes.co.uk. Yeah.
Well, as always, thanks so much for contacting the show and sending us your numerous and varied problems.
We have a pair of giant bulging bags full to the brim with your problems, but there's always room for more. So send in your trials and tribulations to agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk. That's agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk.
And you guys can all help us out by following this podcast, and you can also rate and review it. That means we get to speak to more people and spread the love even further. So give us a go.
So, from the Thin White Duke...
Goodbye.
And from Posh Tash...
Bye!
Perfect.
And from us, have a great week.
Bye, dudes.
Bye-bye.